Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, my co-host Barbara will be in there soon, and today our guest is Maureen Scanlon. Are you there?
I'm here. Hi, Jonathan.
Hey. I was wondering, I mean, it's funny, you really, before the break, we were talking about your dog being more enlightened than you are. Who is your dogs?
So my dogs are the stars of my books, and I have an Australian Shepherd mix named Brody, and I have a little chunky Chihuahua named Jade, and they are my world. So my first book is My Dog is More Enlightened Than I Am. And the second book is My Dog is My Relationship Coach. And there's all kinds of fun stories in there about those two furry babies. And I take what they do in life and how they live life, and I really associate that with our lives and how we can integrate that into just having fun and being joyful and living in the moment, which we all should do, right?
Do the dogs have different personalities?
Oh, you know, it's so funny. And everyone who has a Chihuahua or a little dog, you'll find that the little dogs have no idea how small they are because they make up for it in personality. So Jade is super brave, and she loves everybody. She's social. She loves cats. She loves children. She's not a normal Chihuahua. She's not yappy. And then Brody, he just turned 10 in June, and he's literally an old man, and he acts like an old man. And it's just cute how they relate to each other. And he, you know, she annoys him, and he just takes his paw and sort of like pushes her away, like, can you just leave me alone? I'm trying to sleep. So they definitely, they communicate without verbally communicating, but they definitely have their own personalities. And I think anyone with furry babies knows exactly what I'm talking about. You can remember certain dogs in your life that were different than others that you connected with better and had more personality. So did you ever have any dogs, Jonathan?
Well, my sister recently had a Chihuahua that lived to be 20 and passed away. And the dog was sort of like a queenie dog, you know. She loved to boss everybody around.
That's a Chihuahua. They have no idea. They literally run the house. They, as tiny as they are, their personalities are humongous. Their personalities are the size of a Great Dane. And it's funny. So she ran the house. She was a diva. She got what she wanted, didn't she?
Wow. Do you feel like, that the dogs are psychic?
Jade is definitely, she feels spirits, and she, it's funny, she'll sit in a room, and there are only certain rooms. So there's like the rooms where I do my coaching, and then there's my bedroom where I do my spiritual work and my meditation. So it's those two rooms. She'll just sit and stare off into space, or she'll move around like there's a fly, but there's no fly. So she'll move her head around and be looking at stuff. And one time I videotaped her laying on the bed, and we got a bunch of orbs going through. We caught it on video, and there right next to her, a little orb came up out of the bed right by her. And I was in awe, and I said, look. You know, they're all around her. And, yeah, to actually catch it on video was pretty neat. But she's very in tune to spirits, because when I life coach people, I would say you get dog therapy and life coaching. When they come in person for life coaching, she senses certain people. Some people she's really, you know, I like you. And others she's, you know, I'm not so sure about you. But she has to be up on their laps. Some she gets super excited, and others she just lays there and, like, comforts them during their entire life coaching session. So she really is an emotional support dog. She, I don't know what it is. She's got some type of intuition. She's really in alignment with spirit world, and I see it all the time. Brody, not so much. He's sort of a, he's kind of a easygoing, just kind of lay around and very attached to me. And he's just kind of a, he's just chill. He's not very high strung, but she's very high energy. So it's pretty cool.
Well,
it's pretty cool to watch.
I wanted to introduce my co-host, Barbara. Yes, we are. Barbara, you there?
I knew it. Yes, I'm here. Hi, Marine. I'm so sorry. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but my bathroom clock where I was getting ready said a quarter tell. So it's obviously wrong. And I ran to the phone. I heard it ding. I couldn't believe it. 5:05. I couldn't believe it. I'm sorry I missed the start of the show today.
No worries. We're happy you're here. We are just talking about dogs. You know how I love to ramble about my lovely dogs.
Oh, yeah. But other people seem to like to hear about dog stories, too, because we do this often on the show. And the like the next caller who's waiting says, oh, I love your talk about the dogs. They do, right, Johnny?
They do, yes.
It's so cute. Everybody loves dogs. So, Marine, how have you been?
I am fantastic. I am really doing well. Like, I am loving life, and I'm going in a new direction. I'm going to full-time coach, and I'm going to write another book, and I'm going to do a TED Talk. So, things are moving in a really good direction for me right now. I'm giving up my corporate job. I'm retiring after 25 years. And
Oh, I love it. Isn't it great when we make the decision? Because that's the hardest part. You know, following through, that's the easy part. It's the decision sometimes that is the hardest.
Oh, it is. It's getting rid of those limiting beliefs that I can't make enough money at my dream, and this has been my security, and, you know, am I really ready for this? It's once you let go of all of that and you just go with it. I was on a LinkedIn call with a young lady who changed my whole life by saying something. It was a random call just to connect, and she said, you cannot have one foot on the brake and one on the gas and go anywhere. And it really hit me. Yes, and it was that day that I told my corporate job. I said, I had my review, and I said, thank you so much. It was a great review, and best one probably in 25 years. And I said, I really appreciate it. Unfortunately, it's going to be my last one. And they were like, what? And I said, yeah, I'm going to pursue my dream full time. And they were so loving and supportive about it. So it's funny how those instantaneous things can happen, right?
Oh, definitely. And those things happen. And sometimes those people say something that will touch you so much, and they don't even know what they've just done. I mean, you just said that changed your life. That, I mean, that was the straw right there that made you think, my dream. Look, why shouldn't I have my dream? Why not? It's my turn to have my dream. And you're doing
that.
That's awesome.
Hey. It's exactly what you said. It's making that decision. And I've been saying it, you know, I'm in my fourth year of business and two books published, and they're doing wonderful. They're, you know, all five-star best-selling on Amazon. And I just kept saying, you know, soon. And it's like, what are you waiting for? And, you know, that's what it is making that decision. I'd said it all along, and I said, I know I'm going to do it eventually. But then you keep putting it off out of fear, and then you have to commit to it, and that's what she told me. She said, I want you to commit to a date that you want to retire. And she said, and I want you to say this to yourself, wherever my business is on that day is perfectly fine and exactly where I'm supposed to be. And ever since I did that, it's like all the opportunities have been flowing in ever since. It's amazing how the universe does that. Yeah.
So much
law of attraction.
Passion. Energy with passion behind it is being forced, you know, thrust forward to your goal of living your dream. So that is obviously going to work because it's the law of attraction. It has to be equal. It has to be. The universe, that's how it works.
It is. You know, where attention goes, energy flows. And so if we're focused halfway on lack and then halfway on abundance, we're canceling each other out. So you really have to say, I'm going to completely focus on success and I'm just going to believe and know and speak as if it happened already. And then all that stuff starts flowing and it sounds, you know, when you do it, you're like, that was easy, but it wasn't that easy.
No.
But it's so true when it happens, you will sort of sit back in awe and go, man, why didn't I do that sooner? You know, because
but then it seems like, oh, that was easy. Yeah, it seems like it was easy, but it's that decision. My dad used to say something like that when it came to marriage. If somebody has their foot out the door, they are committed, but yet they've got a foot out, like a little foot hanging out the door, you know, it's never going to work. It's not.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. Same kind
of
analogy
and it's one of the things,
gave you.
It's like one of the things I said in my first book, Barb, was you'll find whatever you seek. So if you're looking for the negative or you're looking for lack or you're focused on, say, in a relationship, you're looking at that person's faults, you're just going to see more of them. So it really is, whether it's relationships or life, whatever you're looking at, that's what you're going to get because that's what you're focused on. So you're literally bringing that energy to whatever your attention is going to. And it's just, it's a hard thing for us as humans to pull away from that. And
I know, because you are only human. But I'd like to add some things to that. Johnny, do you want to add something?
Well, what I was going to say is, I don't know if this is a tangent, but I talked to you once, Maureen, and you mentioned that you gave readings sometimes.
I do. I'm a spirit guide medium.
We have a caller who has asked if you give readings. And if you like, I can put this person on the air or I can tell them to maybe call back another night. Would that be okay with you if I put this person on?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. This is 805. This is Donna. I believe that's right.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Donna.
Welcome.
Scanlon.
Hi. Yeah.
Hi. I have a question. I would like to meet someone, and it's been quite a while. I'm a senior citizen, and do you ever see that happening for me? Can you pick up, you know, are you picking up anything that I will meet someone and I will have a companion in my lifetime?
Yes, I'm going to pull a card for you. So I have these beautiful cards that I was given by a friend for my birthday, and these are Sacred Forest cards. And I do the spirit guide reading, so this is going to be an answer to that. So I'm going to pull a card, and let's see what it says for you. Oh, look at that. Okay, so here's the card that we picked for you. I picked a Wizard of the Woods, and this card is the Focus card. So let's connect with your team here and see what they have to say for you. Okay, so here's what I'm getting for you, Donna. I'm getting that it's kind of like what Barb was just talking about, kind of one foot out. So what I'm getting is if you're focused on that, and it's something that you fully want, then you absolutely will. And it's actually someone that's already in your life. So there's someone that's already there. You already have a pretty good emotional connection with, whether it's a friendship or you do events together, something like that I'm getting.
I don't have anyone in my life right now. I look after one man, but he's blind, and that would be hard to have a relationship as far as, you know, because I want to travel and things like that. But he is a good friend, you know.
Yeah.
That I look
at. It's not that one. It's someone that's more your, it's a contemporary. So I'm looking at, if you're focused on it, it will come, is what they're saying to me. So sometimes you waver between wanting it and then not wanting it. And so saying if you're focused on it, you can have it. But they're saying sometimes Donna doesn't want it. So you have to be all in on saying my desire to be with someone is greater than my fear of being alone. And that's when he'll come.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I do want a relationship, but, you know, I want it to be the right one. I'm not going to, you know, be in a miserable relationship, you know, just to be in one. I'd rather be by myself. You know?
Oh, gosh, no. We do not want to be lonely in a relationship. We want to be really good with ourselves. And you sound like you're healed from a lot of things that have happened in your past. You're at that point where you've said, I've closed the door and all that, and I'm ready for a new chapter. And if you're devoted and dedicated to setting those intentions and saying, I want to bring my perfect match to me, your spirit team is saying, we've got it for her. She just has to be all in with us.
Oh, okay. So, I will be. And then, so I'll be expecting someone to come into my life and that I'll share my life with. That's great.
I'm getting a Michael.
Michael.
I just popped in as soon as we were talking. So there's a sounds like a Michael coming.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah, me too. So I'll try to get out there a little bit more.
There you go. That's what you have to do. You have to just be out there and enjoy being you and love being with yourself, and that's what will attract the exact vibration and the exact match for you.
So be everything social. Everything you're invited to. Everything.
Yeah.
That's what one of my girlfriends said once when I was trying to meet somebody, and she said, just go to every single thing you're invited to. You'd be surprised. You're going to be busy, because we do think, I don't want to go. I'm too tired. You know what? Be active. And I want to ask you, Marie, should Donna say, I have the love of my life, like she already has it? Do you believe in that, just saying you already have it instead of saying I need, to say I have it, it's here, it's arriving? Do you think that's important to do?
It is. It's like speaking it as if it already happened, but to say to make sure that she sets her intentions and says, I know, I believe, and I draw it to me. So it is that same idea, yes, Barb, to speak it as if it already happened. I know the love of my life is coming. I know the love of my life is going to find me. I know that the healthiest relationship that I want is going to find me. Because I love myself, I will attract exactly what I'm looking for.
And it's going to be amazing.
It is going to be, it will be her final, it will be that love that she never knew she could have.
Oh,
that's cool.
Lovely.
You see that? You see Michael, that for Donna.
I've never been married. I'm 67 and I've never been married. Yeah, I've been in relationships, so
love,
yeah, that's one thing.
Love
I
it. That means you're very in alignment with who you are. You're very in alignment with with what you want, and you don't settle. You don't settle, and that's why time means nothing. You know, spiritual-wise, time means nothing, and just years here in Earth is the only way that we calculate anything, but really your soul is still so young, and you've waited. You've waited and stayed in alignment with who you are. That's why your real twin flame is headed your way, because you've waited a long time to make sure that you did everything you were here to do, and this is the next chapter that you wanted in your life, and you're going to find him. He's going to find you. And I feel really, really happy. And I just got a fairy tale like picture in my head. So I feel like this is going to be your fairy tale.
Oh my gosh. You've made my day.
Well, you made my
and
day.
And never settle. You made
no,
my
no,
day.
She's not,
Marie.
She's not a settler.
No.
Donna's not a settler.
Day.
What?
You made my day too, along with Donna's day, because I almost settled. I mean, there's people that they want to get married out of convenience, but why? What? I mean, I already take care of myself just fine. I'm convenient as it is alone, you know. So then what does Donna want? She said she wants to travel. And I get it. She wants somebody to be able to see what she's seen and enjoy it together. How wonderful is that?
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
Donna, I'm actually coaching someone your exact age, and she's single, and she's in the pursuit of her partner, and she's retiring from her job. And it's so exciting to see, you know, at your age and at her age that, you know what, you guys are young. You're young at heart. And if you view yourself as young, you bring that energy and you draw in that energy. And she always says, I don't want to meet someone that I have to take care of. And I say to her, you're not going to, because that's not where your energy is. Your vibration is youthful. Your vibration is strong. So you draw in that partner that you're looking for. So don't fear what you're going to bring in, because you are creating that and you're drawing that in. So don't fear, I'm going to bring the wrong one, because then your energy will bring the wrong one if you're focused on that. So just say, I'm going to bring the right one, and the right one is coming, and I'm keeping my eyes open, and I'm going to go out there and be social and put myself in a position for my twin flame to find me.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
I remember that.
Did I answer your question, ma'am?
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank you. And you all have
Thank
a wonderful
you,
night.
You're
too.
Welcome, Donna.
Thank
have
you,
a great
Donna.
Night.
Yeah. Hope to hear from her again, too. Yeah, this is so fun. I want to ask you, though, because that brings up this question that I always have. I'm asking the psychics all the time. Okay, what if you're an actor and you have a role and you are playing a very horrible person with a lot of negativity in your life, but you feel the role so deeply and you're doing it daily for months on end? I mean, how do you know, how does your brain know this isn't real? I mean, they're telling themselves, they're becoming the character. Nobody's been able to answer me ever, Maureen.
Oh, that's an easy one. That's an easy one, Barb. It's about protection. And I'll tell you how similar that is to my own life. You have to understand, every person that comes to me, they have problems. They have negativity. They're in a rut. They are not happy. So every day that I coach someone, I could suck all that energy in, right? And I don't.
Right.
So their job is to protect themselves. So they set their intentions in the morning or before they do the role, and they say, I'm asking for protection. I'm asking for the white light to protect me and to protect my energy and to not absorb anything that is not for me at the highest level. And then when they're done playing that role, same thing. I release any negativity that is attached. None of that is part of me. That is separate from who I am. It's really, really important. Yeah, it's about protection, because I have to do it consistently. Before I coach, I go outside, I stand barefoot in the grass, and I ask for, you know, energy, I ask for inspiration to help the person, and I ask for protection that I don't absorb it. And then when I'm done, I'll do the same thing. I'll wear my crystal, and I'll say, I release anything that is not mine. And then also doing saging. So saging your body, saging your environment, it releases all of that. And it really is something important to protect yourself.
We should do that too. My daughter sages. She's 14. She's been doing it for a couple of years. She'll do the whole house. And I don't like really the smell of that. I mean, it's the kind that you're supposed to do. We get it at the special store for this clearing.
Yep.
Do you like the smell of this?
You know what? That's funny. I'm not a fan either. My husband loves it. When he walks in the house, he's like, oh, you sage. I'm not the biggest fan either. What you can do is light incense after she sages.
Okay. Yeah, because it's just overpowering. But, hey, whatever works. And that. Thank you for answering, because I thought, well, gosh, what do these actors do with all of this negativity? So that makes a lot of sense. So thank you for answering.
You're done.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I am done. Okay, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, but, you know, it's funny. Like, a good example of this is when the movie Andy Kaufman with Man on the Moon, He really did pretend to be Andy to the point where he insisted on everybody call him Andy. And actually, you know, I didn't really think about it until you said it, Barbara, because the thing is that character actors, especially if the actor is like a character actor, they're going to be so intensely into the role that they pretend it. You know, you understand what I'm saying? It's like they stop being themselves and then somebody else. But then if it's like what you say, there's some negative.
You
know what, Jonathan? In that case, and that is one of my all-time favorite movies, and I absolutely love Jim Carrey, and he's a very, very spiritual man. You know what he did? He channeled it. And so it's no different than if I sit in meditation and I try to channel, or even when I, you know, get into these readings and I'm trying to channel someone's guides, it's the same thing. So he sat on a beach before this movie, and because they had a documentary on the making of that movie, and he actually channeled him, and he channeled him each and every day. So he welcomed it because he really, really wanted to honor him and he wanted to do justice to that role. So if you welcome it, it's just like anything else. If you're going to watch horror movies, you're going to be, you know, exposing yourself to, you know, some of those things, or Ouija boards, or, you know, I feel like you can channel those dark things. A lot of people with the paranormal, they invite, you know, sort of the demonic stuff. But if you choose not to do that, then you have to do the protection mode. And that's when you have a choice. So it's free will to say, I want to channel this and I want to get this information and I want to experience this, or I want to protect myself and I don't want to let this in. So it really is a choice.
That's interesting. Wow. I met him. I worked on Ace is in the House. It was a music video with Jim Carrey. It was a song for Ace Ventura, and he was so wonderful and so fun. And to find out that he's very spiritual and takes advantage of all of this as well, that even the cherry on the top with that guy.
Oh, Barb, you know how they always say if you could sit down on a bench and talk to anyone? Literally, Jim Carrey is the one I want to talk to because, you know, there's so many profound things that he has said that I follow. First of all, I have a $5 million check written out to myself that I wrote in 2019. And, you know, he inspired me when he did that. And there were things that he had said about his father where he said, there's a quote that I wrote in my book about it. And I love his attitude. He said he ended up getting everything and found out it wasn't anything. So when he got all the fame and all the money and everything he wanted, he was still empty. And so he doesn't really do a whole lot anymore, but he does a lot of the spiritual and the motivational. And I would love to sit down with him. And he paints. His paintings are beautiful. And he is an enlightened, awakened person now. And he's so different. And I think even that movie that Jonathan was talking about, channeling that, I think anyone who has any kind of a channeling or a psychic experience, your mind gets expanded and then you sort of understand things a little more. And I think that's what happened to him. I feel like he opened his mind and expanded and he went this enlightened, awakened route. And I would love to sit on a bench with him. That's so neat that you got to meet him.
Yes, it's on my YouTube channel, the video. Fun, and it was his birthday, actually. His birthday, January it was. I got to look up his birthday exactly, but I was the one chosen out of the whole cast to come out with his birthday cake, and I have a picture of it, you know, giving him his birthday cake with the candles lit.
How neat! Mm-hmm. So by knowing you, then I'm like sort of 6 degrees from Kevin Bacon, but 6 degrees from Jim Carrey. That's pretty awesome. I love that.
I know. Well, if I knew him better, I would connect you guys. But it was just one day about 15, 20 years ago working on set with him. And we were sitting side by side getting our makeup. He was getting the hairdo done. And he's so funny. Like, he's so into it the whole time. He was into it. He was coming up with ideas, right there in the makeup chair. And then, you know, Tone Loc, he did the song, Tone Loc. So we had Jim Carrey, like, full of, like, animation and exciting and a lot of energy. And then we had Tone Loc and his whole band. I mean, that place smelled like marijuana so much because they were all poking out. It was a weird dichotomy, but it was really cool experience.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to wait until you were done. But what I was going to say is that, you know, we talked about, like, synchronicity, like people having the same birthday. Andy Kaufman and Jim Carrey have the same birthday.
January what?
And you know, two people on this phone call have the same birthday, right, Maureen?
That's right. You know, those are synchronicities. Those are things that the universe does, these cooperative components that bring us together. And Barb, I'm going to say this. You say you don't know him well enough, but I'm going to manifest that I am going to one day be sitting with Jim Carrey. I'm calling it out right now. I'm speaking it as if it happened. And you guys are, I'm going to call you guys on a podcast 10 years from now, 5 years from now, and it's going to have happened.
On the Barbara Moore Show. You know what? It's so weird that you just said that because it went through my mind too. And I didn't want to be presumptuous and say, oh, well, let's make it happen. But it did go through my mind. I pictured it too. Why not? Why not? Other people reach for this. Other people do it. Why not us? And we are doing it. And let's go for it.
Heck yeah, you can have anything you want. You just have to, you know, it's like how big or how small are your dreams? How much do you want? And there's nothing I can't have. There's nothing that I cannot have. That's how I want to go through life, is believing that. And I feel like everyone should just go through life saying, whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now, it doesn't matter. I'm going to have whatever it is I want. And everyone that knows me knows that I say next stop Oprah's couch, because it's going to happen, and it's going to happen my way. It's going to happen the way I want it to happen, not the way that everybody else does it. I don't need, you know, all the traditional ways that everybody do the media influencing and all that. Mine's going to be authentic, and just one day randomly, I'm going to reach the ear of someone that is going to get me. He's going to feel my message, and he's going to say, you know, I really need to talk to her. Maybe he'll listen to this podcast.
But he is. Maybe he's already doing so. And it works in mysterious ways. And I believe that too.
Right.
I mean, he's the nicest guy. Why not? And one of my best friends dated him for a long time, Jenny McCarthy. I mean, it's not that far away. I worked with him.
Yeah.
I
love it. I love it. No,
really cool.
Nothing's impossible.
I love it. When Maureen is on, I get so much further in, like, my spiritual conquest of becoming, like, fulfilled completely. Because, like I said, nobody had answered that question with the actors. And, you know, because so much is about what you say, what comes out, not just what comes out of your mouth, but what you think. And when you're an actor and you're thinking and you're becoming that character, I mean, your brain does not know the difference. I mean, you could cry by thinking of something. So can you imagine them on set for a year? So you answered it, and they have to be in tune with spirituality. Otherwise, they might even maybe go crazy or get depressed or have mental issues if they don't have another outlet like the sage and the crystals and the meditation tools.
Yeah, it's conscious decisions, and, you know, you have to be careful not to blur the lines. And, you know, that's something that I've learned, you know, through coaching and even from just people in my own life. I mean, you ever notice you have friends that are just Debbie Downers, and then you leave a lunch with them, and you're all of a sudden like, oh. It's because you let it in, and if you maintain, you know, your own space and your own alignment, and you just say, I'm going to be loving and compassionate, but I'm not going to suck it in because that doesn't serve me, then you're strengthened. And so it's a conscious decision to say, I cannot allow that into my subconscious.
Well,
exactly.
I was going to say
so,
something.
Hold on, Johnny. Johnny, wait.
Okay.
There's a caller.
Okay.
Hold on. And then you just remember what you're going to say. But, okay, everybody's listening, and we've got them all hyped up and excited. So let's talk about how they can actually get a hold of Maureen Scanlon to book a life coaching session. So I have her right here. It's lifecoachmaureen.com. That's her website. And if you like Instagram, go to maureen.scanlon.lifecoach. And she's also on Facebook, the same as her website title, Life Coach Maureen. So now you know how to get a hold of her. And by the way, you are absolutely gorgeous. I love your website.
Thank you so much. You're so sweet.
And you have so much great energy. And I also wanted to add, before Johnny adds his, the 25 years in this, I don't even know exactly what you did in the corporate world, but look at all of those wonderful years that you can have as experience to use for your new chapter.
Absolutely. So I started in nursing, and then I went into finance, the finance side of the medical field. So I've been in the medical industry. I've been in for more than 25 years. This company was 25 years, but I've been in the medical field for about 30 years. And I know that I needed all of that, Barb. It is the coolest thing. I worked in an emergency room, trauma center, on graveyard shift. So that was learning, you know, that was throw me to the wolves kind of thing. And
if you,
you saw humans at their absolute most vulnerable, most painful, most scared. And that really influenced me a lot. And I'd always had this feeling in me to help people, obviously starting out as a nurse, but I really always wanted to do social work. And then for it to evolve to where I am now, to the life coaching and be able to write the books to help people. It's funny how I didn't know everything was happening for me, and the universe knew, okay, we're preparing you with this. We're preparing you with this.
Right.
And I remember one of my first experiences. It was my first night in the emergency room in the trauma center, and it was in graveyards are rough because there's a lot of behavioral health, and when they say there's a full moon, it really sort of is a true thing. The vibration and the energy tends to bring out a lot of emotions. And my first night working in the trauma center, a girl ran in covering herself with her shirt, and I'm the first face she sees, and she said, my boss just raped me. And I mean, I'm young, I'm in my 20s, and I'm just like, oh, I've never done this. And so I brought her into, you know, a room, and where we usually have the chaplain come in, and it was literally just kind of smacked me upside the head. But it was really like I had to be the first person she saw, because I don't know why. I just felt like I sat with her. I held her hand. I literally like life coached her without even knowing at the time I was helping her through being an empath.
Oh, cool.
And just, you know, telling her, you know what, it's not your fault. You didn't do anything wrong. And this is, you know, this is not right.
She could
and because she felt
somebody totally different than you that didn't have any empathy. She could have. There's a lot of those out there that don't have
especially
empathy.
In the medical field and in that environment, when you see it on a daily basis, they get very clinical and they get very detached from emotion. And I never lost that. And that's what I probably pride myself the most on, is I never lost the emotion, the human emotion part of the medical field. And I got burned out very quickly, because I am so empathetic that it was too much for me, and I didn't know how to protect myself. I didn't, like you were talking about, the protection. Mm-hmm.
Right.
And at that time,
Johnny,
I was not
about that.
Yeah. So I wasn't awakened and enlightened.
You can't even
know
be around
about
that
all
many
this.
People.
Yeah.
It's hard to be around that many people.
it's, you see suffering, you see human suffering, you see pain, you see loss, you see, you know, for me, not knowing how to protect myself back then and not understanding enlightenment and being awakened and being able to protect myself and energy, law of attraction, I didn't know any of this. And so, of course, I was in an abusive marriage at the time, too. So, you know, just add insult to injury. So everything was just compounded, and it was a lot. I'm surprised I didn't have, you know, like a nervous breakdown. But I knew my entire life that that was my role, was to be there for someone who needed me or who needed comfort or who needed compassion. And to be able to do this now and to be able to write about it and to coach people is, I'm so grateful. I'm the lucky one. You know, I feel so blessed. I tell my clients that. I tell them, I'm the lucky one that you share and you trust me with your innermost pain and secrets, and that we can work together and get through them. So it's a privilege.
Well, somebody has to have those traits and talents and that within them, the strength, and you are the one, and that's wonderful. But if you were in your 20s and you felt like, okay, wow, I felt like this might be my calling, and if somebody would have said, Marine, God, King Jones, and Marine, you will do this in 25 years, what would you say? No! But you know what? It just goes by quickly, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And it's the weirdest thing because, you know, we all have sort of this little inkling in the back of our head of what we're meant to do. And then you have to go through life to sort of hone your craft, I guess. Even if it's subconsciously, you sort of hone it. And I knew as a child, I would look at my family and they would do things and say things. And I'd say, hey, that's not right. That's not kind. You shouldn't say that. You shouldn't do that. That's not truthful. So I knew it as a child. And then as I went through life and asked for these pretty painful experiences, I knew it. The older I got, like more stuff happened and more experiences came, and the bigger the pain, the bigger the growth. So I knew I was always meant for something bigger. And then it was
awesome.
It was a moment of just saying, I'm tired of what I'm doing. I'm tired of the insanity, doing the same thing, expecting different results. And I went through this sort of 2-year period of finally learning to love myself and manifested my husband, manifested this awesome career, and manifested just this ability to say I can have what I want. I never knew I was allowed to choose. I just thought I was given it and you got to deal with it, you know?
No, but if you didn't have to go through all of that, you wouldn't be able to teach people how to get past through all of that and get to where they need to be. You would not if you didn't experience it. So, wow, the universe actually put you through that, all those experiences, so that you could be where you are right now.
I say that all the time because there's not a client that has sat in front of me that I haven't been able to help through some type of experience that I had, you know, whether it was my children or my husband or my own choices or my childhood, or it didn't matter. What I tell people who have these really traumatic experiences, I always try to turn it around for them and say, you know, you got that experience because you're strong enough to handle it and that you're supposed to do something with it to pay it forward. And that's when you look at it with gratitude, then people start seeing their trauma differently. Then they start seeing it as, okay, this is growth. This is my purpose. This is what I'm supposed to do to help others. And it really diminishes the pain.
Yes. I have a question. What if somebody had a charmed life? They never really went through horrible, painful experiences, but they're searching for a passion. I've met so many people in my life that say, oh, you're so lucky you do have a passion for dance or modeling. I have a passion for nothing. Can you really tap into that and help them find what their passion is?
Absolutely. Everyone has something, and no one has had a perfect life. They may present it as a charmed life. They may say it was a charmed life, or you observe it as a charmed life. But I will guarantee you, every single person who is in this physical experience has experienced something that has had to make them grow. So there's
even
been,
just
whether
coming
it's,
into the world. Sorry to interrupt.
That's
you,
correct.
Even just like trauma is coming out of your mom. My goodness, they don't want to come out. You know, I mean, right?
Right. But it's impossible. Well, it's impossible to be here in this human experience and say I've never experienced anything that's going to give me growth. So if you've had a good life and you've had, you know, an ideal childhood, that's also an experience that you asked for, so you can bring that forth to others. So you can say, hey, I'd like to teach others how to be good parents or how to be compassionate and loving. I had this wonderful childhood that I want to share with others that worked for me. Just as those who didn't have a good childhood, if they went through abuse or molestation or, you know, narcissism, they can bring that forward. So you have an experience whether you recognize it or not.
Right. Or maybe they feel guilty because they have had everything given to them on a silver platter. And they're like, well, maybe I want to be more colorful. Maybe I don't know who I am because of this. So I love that you can find the purpose and the passion in every single person that comes to you. I love that.
We are all here for a purpose. There's something that we're supposed to do, and I really learned that through just doing the mediumship with the spirit guides, because, you know, there's teacher angels, there's guide angels, there's just this varied way, guardians, there's different reasons why we came to this physical life. And that's, if I have a really charmed life, then I'm really good at teaching others how to do that. Or I'm really good at it. I could write a book about it, or I could, you know, you don't have to have a traumatic experience to be able to teach others or to share your experience. It's not everything has to come from trauma, and growth can come from anywhere. And I think that, you know, the world, it's funny that you said that someone feels guilty about it. Well, there you go. There's an experience right there. I feel guilt for having a good life. That's
right.
That's an experience right there. Guilt is worrying about other people over yourself. So there we go. We have an experience we can share
right.
with others.
So everything.
Teaching. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then we can teach ourselves how to do self-love and acceptance. So there's always something
guilt
to be learned.
Guilt is a bad feeling.
Guilt is a tough one. Guilt is a really tough one, and I don't think there's one single person I've ever run into that doesn't feel guilty about something. And when I do, like, I do a false belief exercise with my clients, and one of the questions is, what do you feel guilty about? And the varied things that we feel guilty about are amazing to me, and that's one thing that has really stood out is how we as humans have to find something to feel bad about. We will seek out something to feel bad about. You know, it's...
Is that human nature?
It is. In society wants you to feel bad. Like, you're always comparing yourself to others, so you're going to always feel less than. So that's a self-esteem thing, and I feel guilty because if I work really hard, I don't spend enough time with my kids. But then again, if I am a homemaker and I spend time with my kids, I feel bad that I don't bring in enough money. So it's never, you're never done. You never get it right if you always feel bad.
I agree with you about guilt. I think that's a big deal because, I mean, it slows you down with guilt. I mean, I think it's probably more than what people even think because I think it's because, you know, when somebody's a good person, they want to be there for everybody. I mean, don't you agree?
People-pleasing is a big deal because usually it was something that was programmed in youth, which was be nice. If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all. You know, do this for this person. It was always this programming. We've always been programmed to do things for others and think of others and don't be selfish. And I feel really good that right now their energy is shifting back to, let's take care of ourselves first so we can be there for others. So you're absolutely right, Jonathan. A lot of guilt comes from I don't do enough for anyone else, or I can't do enough for others and people in my life.
Yeah. And it breeds depression big time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh,
and anxiety.
Gosh. Oh,
anxiety.
Anxiety. And then people start taking pills for their depression and their anxiety, and then they don't even know who they are. Is their body actually producing the endorphins naturally anymore? 60% of Americans, I hear, are not, because they're on these. It's okay. Don't feel guilty about taking them, people, okay?
Yeah. Well, you know what's amazing to me too, Jonathan and Barb, is that we create our own guilt, and what we do is we sort of take on other people's responsibilities, and it makes us feel guilty. And I'll give you an example. I got married at 18 years old and got pregnant at 19 and had my oldest daughter. Well, their father was an alcoholic, and he wasn't a good dad, and I divorced him when my girls were 6 and 8, and he wasn't present for them. He was never there. So my daughter's entire life, I felt guilty for creating them with this man. And as I look back now, it sounds crazy, but I carried that on for so long. My daughter ends up in an abusive relationship, just like I was, and my guilt compounds. Because, oh my gosh, she saw me in this abusive relationship with her father, and now she went out and did it. It's all my fault that she continued the cycle. And I have to tell you, I had a moment with a couple of really good friends of mine, and they own a crystal shop in Utah called Synchronicities. Shameless plug there, but it's a beautiful, beautiful shop. So we were sitting around, and I was really holding on to this guilt. And they all really sort of did an intervention with me and said, you're not responsible for, A, how their father was. That was his responsibility to be a better father, not yours. You were a great mom, so don't be guilty for how he behaved. Furthermore, don't feel guilty for your daughter's choices, and don't feel guilty for another man abusing your daughter. So that was like compounded guilt. I just kept carrying it on and carrying it on. You know, it's my fault that all this stuff happened. And when I let it go, I realized my daughter was asking for these experiences, and I was inhibiting her growth by enabling her through my own guilt, by saving her from her life and her choices. And when I let go, she said to me, Mom, it was the best thing you ever did, because that's when I got strong, that's when I learned, and that's when she left him. So it's amazing.
I remember you telling us this story on another show, and that is amazing. Plus, when you let go, then you were enabling her to be her stronger self.
She had to learn the same way I did. No one saved me.
Right.
So I was actually doing a disservice to her by trying to save her when she was asking for the experiences, and I was preventing her from her own growth. And it was my job. The only thing I could do was let go of my own guilt and say, you know what, I accept that this is how life is, and I accept that I asked for these experiences for myself and for my children, and now I must let them experience their joy and their pain and their sorrow and their own growth. That's not for
me
to decide.
Isn't it hard, because we love them so much, and you know, we are fearful of them getting hurt, but how do we grow? They have to have these experiences. This is interesting.
And that's what I had. That's true, Barb, and that's one thing with your daughter at this age.
Yes.
Especially at your daughter's age right now, you are at literally the fork in the road. This is where she discovers who she is. And letting go and letting her discover herself and her path is so hard at this age where you are.
But they have to let
go
too.
I
say to her, can you let me be a mom? Can you let me discipline you? You're not even letting me be the mom that you know that I can be to you. You know, so that is a thing where it's a single mom and the only child type of thing that taught me. But wow, it really did work, though, when she let go and I let go. And then, boom, now happiness again.
Yes, and you're letting her find her own way. You're not doing it for her. It's not your job to do it for her. And it's funny when you say, well, it's because we love them. If you love them, you want them to be as healthy emotionally, mentally, and physically as possible. So by inhibiting her growth or enabling her and taking care of her problems, you're actually loving her less because she won't have those coping skills you want her to have when she's an adult. And that took me a long time. Yeah. That took me a very long time to learn that. And so I've always wanted to be the voice that my younger self needed. And so sharing this with you at the crucial age that your daughter is at, it is going to serve you so well if you just say, you know what, as long you can be who you are, as long as you are safe and you are healthy, those are my concerns, and that's where you have to let me be a mom. Outside of that, I give you freedom to be who you are.
Yes, because I trust your decisions, and I see that you are a wise young lady. Yes, because if you don't give them any freedom, then why do they even try?
Absolutely.
I had a good dad, though, that did that, but I had also a very mean stepfather. So I feel like that was a blessing right there in disguise. I didn't see it at the time, obviously, but I could see, okay, this is how I don't want to be. I don't want my family to be like that. And then this is a healthy, but some people only see the bad and they're raised with just the bad. So thank goodness for people like you, life coaches. And hello, everybody. We have just gone over a lot of things that make a good life coach, called experience, a lot of experience. Could you please tell us the names of your books, because they're so cute, and I love the titles, the dog, the dog analogies, is that what we would call it? Yeah.
Thank you. I love it. My first book is My Dog is More Enlightened Than I Am. We can all relate to that. And my second book is My Dog is My Relationship Coach. And in the book, we talk about life coaching just like this, but also just the examples of how the dogs are unconditionally loving and how they're spontaneous and how they trust and they find joy in the littlest things. And it just is all relatable to us as humans.
Unconditional. Unconditional. That's what I always wanted from a partner in life. Unconditional love.
That's
they don't
what
know
we all
how to
see
be,
because,
you know, unless you abuse them so much and they snap at you. But, I mean, they'll take a lot of abuse before, you know, they snap, you know. And so we can all learn from that big time.
Oh, absolutely. Think about how trusting they are and, you know, how if they've been mistreated, they still have hope. They still believe the next forever home is coming. They still believe the next person is going to treat them well. And really, we as humans tend to do the same thing. But they are less in their way. They don't overthink like we do. That's the difference.
I like that.
They feel more than they think. And if we as humans could go more that route, I think that would change everything. If we would go with our gut instincts of how we feel about something and only did what felt good, we would find our paths a lot smoother, a lot more ease, and a lot happier.
That is so smart of you to, you know, connect that and use that in your titles. And I'm so glad that your books are doing so well and you're writing another book. But, Johnny, did you have something to say? Do you even remember what you were going to say earlier?
Well, I thought I said it.
Are you there?
Oh.
No.
Well, I tell you what I was going to say earlier. You were talking about actors being, you know, I mean, it's one thing to channel Andy Kaufman, but let's say you're playing Charles Manson. You know, I mean, how do you – that would be too much.
Nope, it's not. Nope. Follow what Maureen said earlier. You have to cleanse before, you have to cleanse after your role. When you're done, every single day, cleanse. It's not impossible, is it, Maureen?
No, it's a choice how deep you want to go into it. So maybe there's people, here's a good example, here's a good analogy. So a lot of people believe in spirits, right? I like the spirits where I always say, you know, only the highest level vibration spirits are what I allow in when I channel or I do my readings. So I'm only allowing a certain level in. So when people do paranormal and say, you know, like the Ghost Hunters or other show where they go and they go to these prisons and they go into these sort of places where they have demonic happening. So they're allowing that into their vibration and into their energy.
I was going to name another example. It's funny because I heard on television they were talking about the movie The Exorcist, and it turns out Linda Blair was able to handle it fine, but people were talking that, oh my God, how could she do that, playing this demonically possessed demon, and it turned out that she really was able to handle it fine.
She was probably, maybe she was a kid, she was a teenager, she was playing. It was just play for her, maybe. That's how she compartmentalized it and was able to handle it.
Well, I think if you view it, especially like with actors and stuff, I think it's different. Like if your work is paranormal, you risk bringing that in and you risk bringing that home. And I know that a lot of paranormal will do that protection before they go and they do that. They do an investigation. But when you're doing like a movie or, you know, when you're an actor like that and you're doing like Charles Manson, first of all, if you separate it, like you said, compartmentalize it, this is business. My life coaching is business, but I get emotionally attached to the success of my clients, but I cannot let it consume me where I think about it all night when I'm not coaching or the next week and I'm worried about this person. There has to be these boundaries where you say, I can't allow that to cross over. And so it's a choice whether you're playing Charles Manson or, you know, The Sound of Music. How much will you let in? How much do you want in? It's totally up to you. I don't think it's by accident that something gets in, moves in our consciousness. We have to decide that's not going to affect me. No different than hanging around with a negative person and saying, I'm going to suck in all your negative energy. They call those vampires. You know, you have a choice. When you meet with someone you know is negative, you say to yourself, I know they're negative, and I'm not going to allow it to affect me when I have a conversation with them. So kind of the same thing,
I think.
Well,
I think it's all relative. I mean, I'm taking it like this, Maureen and Johnny. Okay, if I was an actress playing a very mean serial killer, horrible person, or a person who's going through a horrible divorce, my heart is hurting, maybe the same as if, like, I was going to get found out or sent to prison, or if the guy was going to leave me. My heart is breaking the same, maybe even more if I was going through a divorce. So whatever character I'm playing, it's all relative. I mean, that hurts. It hurts just like a person who's thinking as a serial killer. A woman who's going through a divorce might be even going through more pain in her heart. So I don't think it matters what character you're playing at all. Just use what the tools are that she's laying out for you, and it's going to work for everything, everybody. It doesn't matter, well, what if I play a serial killer that killed 50 people, but I only killed one? It doesn't matter, right?
Absolutely.
I'm devaluing your question, Johnny, but I'm just thinking it doesn't matter. Go ahead.
I think it just all comes down to choice, and you might find this surprising, but I love true crime. And the reason that I love true crime, and that's really negative. You listen to stuff about murders, real-life murders, and that could really affect you, right? When I listen to those true crime podcast or, you know, shows, the reason I listen to them is not because I absorb the negative or the evil and it makes me feel terrible. For me, it's a tool that I can try to understand what was this person's childhood like. Why did they do this? What were the factors that led up to it? I always look at it as if it's something I could be aware of or to help someone else. But I don't take away from that and feel bad and have nightmares. I mean, I do feel bad. I definitely feel empathy for the families and the victims. But, I mean, I don't carry it over because I protect myself to that point where I'm like, I take something good from it rather than letting it consume me. Does that make sense?
I get it. Does Johnny get it? Johnny, do you
understand
how that anybody could play Charles Manson and be probably even better than a divorcee playing? Oh, I'm watching this Dirty John on Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
Great shows. Have you been watching that, Maureen?
You know what? I have to tell you something. That Dirty John is exactly, that was my life with an ex of mine. I watched that. Yeah. I mean, 6 years I was with a Dirty John, and I mean to a T. In fact, he still harasses me to this day. And, you know, and it's been 10 years. He even reached out to my daughter yesterday to try to friend request her. And yeah, it's insane. So I've lived that. And I don't give that any energy.
Whoa.
You know, I don't give it any energy. I'm like, I'm not giving that power to anyone. I'm beyond that. I'm not that person that you were allowed to do that to. And it's crazy, though. But that is exactly the relationship that I had. So that was huge growth to be able to write that book, to say,
okay,
this is how I know.
Now we know. Now we know some of the things that we will be able to read when we buy your book. And could you tell us where we could get your book? Is it Amazon?
It is on Amazon. Just go, you can do it by name, by my author name, Maureen Scanlon, or you can even on my website. There's a link on my website that you can click to buy the book, and then also my publisher Outskirts Press also sells it. So there's Barnes and Noble, so everybody anywhere you pretty much can buy books. There's an Audible also. I did a Audible version of the newest book, and it's kind of fun. My narrator, she's fabulous, and it was her very first Audible book, and she did a great job.
You were talking about that on our last show because I was asked, why didn't you do your own Audible? But I get it, because these people, the actors, they could bring it more to life. As you know, where you're the writer, maybe you're not the actor. You don't want to speak it into the acting, so touching the people. But I would like to hear, I mean, I love hearing your voice. You really like this woman who did this Audible for you, huh?
Yes, and you know, there's so much more to it. I feel I'm very good verbally, but when you're doing a book, there's breaks, there's, you know, inflections, she's a professional, and I'm so happy because I would have had been in the closet with a bunch of, you know, soundproof foam around me or something. I don't know. It wouldn't have been good. And I would
do it
100.
I
would do it. What?
I'm telling you. Doing it over and over, because I know how they would say, okay, do it like this. And pretty soon you do it over and over to where, and then it doesn't even sound natural. And then you're cheapening the whole thing because you're like getting tired and you're like, okay, that's good enough. But no, it's not good enough. We hire a professional to do it. That's her forte. And I like that. And I'm going to get that book. Are you, Johnny?
Okay.
My dog is my online, I didn't write it all down.
My relationship coach.
My relationship, okay, my relationship show, coach. But what about the number one? My dog
is more enlightened.
Than I am.
Okay.
Than I am.
Oh, I love that one. I want to get that one. I haven't gotten that one yet.
You'll love the first one. The first one is really the spiritual journey, and then the next one, it really carries over and specializes into, once you've figured out that self-love and that alignment for yourself, then you go to the relationship part, and that's, you know, it's almost like a process of healing. And you'll see my puppies on the front of the number one book, and you'll see my grand doggy on the front of number two book.
Grand doggy.
Okay. Grand doggy. Have you ever heard that before? Can you go on 10 grand minutes doggy. Longer? If not, we can schedule you again. But I really wanted to touch upon something that we can do a whole show on it. But I've been dealing majorly with a narcissist friend, as not a boyfriend, not a relationship. And I go on YouTube constantly, Maureen, trying to find information about it, but it's always, I'm only finding relationship narcissists. What about a girlfriend who's been doing this to you?
Oh, yes. There's parents. I just completed a course. I literally just completed an accredited course on narcissistic behavior and relationships. And it's related, it is all relationships, and it's parents, and it's friendships, and it's siblings, all of it. That is my favorite topic, because that was my favorite thing, obviously, to date for a very long time.
Yeah, you are an expert.
I have firsthand experience in my own life, and I also now have the educational part of it. So that is you're right, that's an entire show.
Right,
and
a show.
And I love to talk about that, because most narcissistic relationships lead to abuse or are abusive. And so if I can do anything to advocate to get anyone out of an abusive relationship or even pre-abusive, I am all about that. So, yes, can we please do
that
session?
We will. Let's schedule that, Johnny. Because not only that, though, but once we've made the decision, which I have, there are always those, because they make you feel like you're the crazy one because you're not liking me anymore. But, no, I'm not crazy. And I want to know all these little things to do, like, should we write down all the crazy things they've done to us? I mean, like, you become, like, that takes up so much more of your own life. So, but I think when we get rid of the narcissist and we doubt ourselves, and we don't need that, and that's where I am right now. So I would love to book a show on this. I would love it.
Oh, yes. I mean, narcissists are professionals at psychological warfare. And, you know, their favorite thing to do is gaslight and make you think it's all about you. It makes, you know, you're to blame for all the things that they do. They don't take accountability. It all stems from a place of insecurity, and they will never admit. And the thing is it's a personality disorder, so it isn't something that can be corrected by medication. It isn't like a mental disorder. It is a personality. And what I learned through this last course that I took is there's different levels. We all have narcissistic traits, but we have different levels of narcissistic traits. And then there's the narcissistic personality disorder, which is the extreme end of the spectrum. So I'm all about that subject, and I lived it, and I'm really, there's so many of them out there, and there's overt and covert. So you don't always see it until it's too late, or you see the red flags, but then you doubt yourself if they really are. You're like, oh, maybe it's just me and my insecurities. Maybe I'm just taking it wrong. So it's a great subject. Yeah,
okay.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yes, I want to dive into that with you next show, because I find it really interesting what you just said, where it's their insecurities, because when you look at them and the way they act and the way that they, you know, try to command their room and the presence of, you know, their whole realm, you wouldn't think, oh, they're insecure, but it does. What I've researched too, it does derive from insecurity, and I want to touch upon that so much right there, because that is odd, right? It's because they don't act insecure, they act like they're so great.
Yep. They thrive on making you feel less than, because that's how they boost their ego, and that's how they make themselves feel better, is to make everyone around them feel worse. They're the smartest person in the room, they think. And, you know, and it's a lot of times it goes hand in hand with other issues. So the person that I was with was a sociopath, and he was narcissistic, and he literally had narcissistic personality disorder. So I dove deep into the rabbit hole of narcissistic personality disorder because I lived it for 6 years, and I really did a lot of damage to myself physically and mentally and psychologically, and I'm so happy that I crawled out of it, and then I learned how to thrive. And now I look back and I know, I absolutely know what to look for, how to help others see those signs. And part of that is in my book as well. In the Relationship Coach book, I talk about that at the beginning, about abusive relationships and the isolation. And so there's a lot of stuff in my book about that, Barb. You would love book number two, just because it talks a lot about that. And you'll read about my narcissistic relationships where I just missed it. I just didn't see it. And it's because my own self-esteem was low. Because I didn't think I was lovable, and I thought I had to earn love. And so I'm an empath. So most empaths draw in a lot of narcissists. If you're not strong in your self-love and your alignment, you will draw them in. That's where they find that crack and that weakness is with empaths.
They get you
empath
where they
people.
Want you. They play on all of those things. They make you feel in a certain way, oh, you're wonderful. And then when they pull away, you're thinking, well, what? You don't like me? What's wrong with me? Are you not cool anymore? I mean, I'm not saying for myself, but there's so many aspects. I can't wait to have this show.
They hone in on weakness. They know how to find it. And once they find it, they perfect it. And they know how to break you down to where you just get smaller and smaller and smaller. And, you know, you can lose yourself. And I am determined
to
make sure. Yeah. And
it's
like
so
you said, it can be anything. It could be friends. It could be parents. It could be siblings. It's just anyone that's in the world, in a relationship with you. It doesn't have to be romantic. So that's really interesting. And I have a solution, and I have a method that worked for me. And it takes a lot of really dealing with the healing and the willing to do the work to do release. You've got to let it go and be able to be strong enough and aligned enough to say, I'm worth more than that, and I can separate from that. So we'll talk about how to do that.
Okay. So on that note, the thing that is frustrating with that is that we want to be able to say, I need to let go of you because you are this way, but they come back at you and they aren't taking any accountability for anything they've done. So it kind of is this void that you're feeling. Well, if they don't understand why you can't be around them, have them in your life, it's just like, but you want them to understand, but no matter how much you tell them you are this way, they are not going to get that. Is this true, or do they really know they're that way, but they're denying it?
No.
Or do they really just not know that they are that way?
They do not know, and it is actually a fact that most narcissist personality disorders, people with those disorders, do not seek help because they do not see it. They have no self-awareness that they're doing it. And they won't seek help for it because that would mean accountability. And for a narcissistic person, taking accountability is completely off the radar. And you will not. And that's what keeps us in those. That's what keeps us in those relationships, is that you say, why do they do that? You'll never, ever understand why a narcissist does what they do, because you are not unfeeling like that. You're an empathetic person. Anyone who has kindness and compassion in their heart cannot understand how a narcissist can hurt people, just blatantly hurt people that they love. It's a very, it's a concept. It's like me telling you to describe the color red to someone who's blind. It's really almost impossible to say why they do it. And if you're seeking the why, you'll never get away from the person. And if you're trying to get them to see your side, that's also not going to happen. So you have to be okay with leaving it without closure and just saying, I'm going to give you the reason why I'm not going to be in this relationship, and it's because it doesn't serve me and it doesn't feel good to be your friend. So I must separate from you.
Wow.
That's your closure. That's your closure.
Okay,
just
that's
to walk
my
away.
Answer. You have to be able to do that, and that's what you actually need the life coach for, because it's so hard to do, because as a normal, empathetic person who's healthy emotionally, we have a hard time wrapping our mind around that. And so we keep going back trying to, you know, convince them, look, and hoping that they can change. And I didn't actually hear you earlier. Can they be rehabilitated, or is there no hope?
They say therapy, like, you know, psychology books and therapists will say they can get behavioral therapy for it, but I mean, to be honest, most research has shown that because it's a personality disorder, doesn't have anything to do with chemicals. So it isn't like it's an imbalance that we need to fix and it'll change this. It is who they are. They lack empathy, and there's no pill for lacking empathy. So they have to either discover it for themselves, become more aware, and be accountable, which is very rare for narcissistic personality. And so it can be done through behavioral therapy, but it's such a small percentage because they aren't willing to own what they do and who they are. And, you know, you said something really pertinent, Barb. When you value your worth, once you value your worth and you say, I am the best thing since sliced bread and anyone in my life is privileged to know me, then walking away from someone like that is a piece of cake. For me now that I finally know my worth after all those years of being with narcissists, now it's so easy for me to walk away from anything that doesn't serve me because now I know my worth and I know my value.
That's empowering. That's
and
empowering
when
you reach
that point. That's where you got to get, and then you'll recognize those narcissists right off the bat. You'll see the signs and you'll say, oh, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm going this other way. And remember, removing those people out of your circle leaves room for others that are more at your vibration and that are more loving and empathetic like you.
Wow. That's a wealth of wisdom right there. One last question on that, and then we're going to book the show on this subject. Okay. I was wondering. Actually, it must be a compliment when you tell the narcissist that you are a narcissist. If they really know what a narcissist is, maybe they would be deemed to hear that. Yes, I am.
No.
If you say I am, I am thinking I'm the best. No?
No. No. Anytime you point out a flaw of a narcissist, you're literally lighting the match of their defense. So because they are so insecure, they don't want anything pointed out that they do wrong. So when you point out something, you're a narcissist. Well, they know a narcissist is selfish. They know a narcissist is not empathetic. They know a narcissist does things only for their own good. They are not going to want you to think they are a narcissist, because what is that going to do? Prevent you from giving them what they want. So that is absolutely not a compliment, and that one I know that one firsthand because I've called out many narcissists, and they do not like that whatsoever, and that's when the gaslighting will happen. Then it'll be turned around on you. You make me act this way. I only said that because you did that. I did this because you did that. You made me do this because blah, blah, blah. So that's usually how it happens.
I'm going to be your guinea pig then for the next show. So in the interim, should Yeah, really true. This is amazing that we have this going on right now, that we could do our little, you know, our experiment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should I wait and not, because the ball's in my park right now to,
you know,
tell them whatever I want to tell them, okay? They rebutted exactly what you just said. They would say, now, I could say, you are a narcissist, but should I refrain and wait till I get your counseling on air before I make my next step?
So here's what I always say. Use this filter when you're speaking to others, no matter how difficult or, you know, mean they are, whatever, hurtful they are. Use this filter to speak your truth. So first of all, let me ask you, do you love yourself, Barbara?
Yes.
Do you believe that your friendship is very valuable?
Yes. The friendship with them?
Yeah. No, like you as a friend.
To anybody,
you,
yes.
As a friend, yeah. You think you're a good friend? And there's a lot of value in your friendship?
Yeah.
Okay. So where we're going to go with this when you're going to communicate with this person is, first of all, do they bring value to me? Do I feel good and uplifted every time I talk to this person?
No.
Okay. Do they meet me halfway, or is it a one-way street?
One-way street.
Okay. Do they belittle me so they can brag about themselves and make themselves feel better?
They're careful about that one. But I would.
So they're cold.
I'm wondering
they're
what they're doing behind my back.
Ah, so I don't trust this person. Okay.
Nope.
So all those things you just answered says to me that this person does not serve you well. This individual does not serve your life well. They're not adding to your life. They're taking from your life. So the decision there is, do I want to allow someone to continue to take from my life, or do I value myself enough to say, this is not okay, and I'm not going to allow this? Right? That's your decision to make.
Yes.
The way to communicate.
I have done this before. I don't want to cut you off, but I want to interject one little thing. I have told several really close friends that have good hearts, if I go back, please just remind me. No, I need to be strong enough not to rely on them. I need to be strong enough in my own self to realize, don't go back. I have said this so many times to this person, like not to this person I haven't said, but to myself, I have said, I cannot do this anymore. I don't want them in my life. Now it's like the third time in 29 years. And
so you're setting boundaries. You're setting a line in the sand, and you're allowing this person to cross that boundary. So you're not sticking to your boundary. How you stick to your boundary is you block their number, you unfriend them on Facebook, you remove all contact with them. And the way that you communicate it before you do that is you say through this filter, so we say this, is it true? Yes, you're going to say this. Is it kind and is it necessary? So these are how the three things you're going to say to this person. Is it true? I don't feel as if our friendship is a mutual friendship. Is it kind? I really feel that I value myself a lot, and the way that I feel in this friendship, I don't feel very good. And is it necessary? I don't think it would be a good idea to continue this friendship because it really only makes me feel bad about myself. I appreciate the time that we did have as friends, but I'm going to have to go ahead and go my separate way and you go your separate way. So it was
true.
Why? It was kind.
Why tell them that? Why tell them that if they're never going to even understand that? And they're going to go back and gaslight you. Why not just ignore it and... Because then they'll gaslight you anyway, because they're going to be like, well, she, 29 years friendship, and now she doesn't even talk to me. So is it because
you're
going to
ghost them?
Establish that?
You're not going to Well, Barb, you're not going to feel like you have closure unless you do that, because you've done that now three times and it hasn't worked.
So closure.
Just ghosting them didn't work for you. So I feel
closure
like
for me.
You would need that closure to say, this is why, and there's nothing else I need to say. So thank you. Have a great rest of your life, and I'm going to have a great rest of my life. And then you stick to that boundary, and then you disconnect.
But I like what you said before, but thank you for all the years, because there were good times. Obviously, there's some good time. There's many good times. And that's why you keep, you know, trying to make it work. But thank you much for enlightening me on that.
Well, it's interesting how in friendships sometimes it's harder to separate. But if you think about in a relationship, if a guy was not meeting your needs, it wouldn't be that hard for you to separate from it. You would come up with that speech and say, I don't think we're working. You're not the right one for me, and I wish you well. And you'd be done, cross it off, bye-bye, now you're an ex. But when it comes to friendship, we keep allowing it over and over and over out of this obligation as if we owe people a friendship just because we've been friends for 29 years.
So
we don't owe anybody anything.
So it's easier when it's like a guy. To me, this is a harder situation. Definitely.
Because you associate guilt and obligation with this friendship. If you remove that and then you say it's not serving me, we've grown apart the way that and you can't, with a narcissist, you don't have to point fingers. You don't have to do any of that. You just say, is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? Those three things for you to close this friendship. Say those things, and then you walk away. But you have to be determined and committed to keeping the boundary and not letting them come back in.
Okay. I will. And I can't wait to actually go over this. I have all kinds of notes on this. I've been researching it for 2 weeks, Maureen. This is going to be great. Thank you, Joni, for getting Maureen back on all the time. I mean, she is my favorite, you know, and she's a life coach. Hello, everybody.
Maureen.
Life coach, Maureen Scanlon. Go ahead, Johnny.
Well, you said you wanted to schedule the next show. So what
but we don't schedule on air because that's boring for the listeners.
Okay.
Let's close the show.
Right. Okay,
right?
I understand.
Can we schedule off? All right. Okay.
I love you guys. Maureen. I love you guys. You know, Barb, we are always so in alignment. Like, I don't know what it is, like the show for when your mom passed and we had my friend's Judy and her mom, Judy. It's just, we always have whatever it is, there's a connection, and it's almost like our energy needs to be, it's always synchronized. And I'm here
really
always
is.
At the moment that I need to speak with you and you need to speak with me. And I love you, the both of you, dearly.
And you helped me so much when my mom passed, and we had you on after that in April. And, oh my gosh, it's the best show. You guys can find it on our YouTube channel, Life Laughter Happiness, and you'll find it there, okay? Well, I saw my mom in the corner of my apartment when I only can bring spiritual, whatever everybody calls it, okay, paranormal, in if I'm completely positive. If I'm negative and hateful and mean and, you know, feeling angry, no, they don't come. But if I open up, and it's usually when I'm like sad and crying, like sad, happy, kind of weird. Well, I looked up in the corner of my apartment, there my mom's face was. And we had a medium on the other day, and I asked him, and he says, well, if you feel it, then she was. But can you do me a little tiny reading before we close the show and tell me, was my mother really, really here, Maureen? I trust you so much. Did she really come to me? Please feel it. Please feel the energy.
Let me see. Let me see if she comes through.
Okay.
I'm going to pull a card. I'm going to pull a card so I can get aligned with
her.
My cards just are my connection, and it's always like your spirit guide being able to. It's almost like they open the door when I pull the card. It's an odd
tool.
I know, it's an odd description, but
I get it.
All right.
And I have
to
breathe.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
What?
There you
what?
Go.
What?
That's the... The answer is yes. I pulled the Bluebird Spirit card, and guess what that card is?
Well, I've never seen this card before. What?
It is the happiness card, and I'm going to send you a picture after we get off, and I'll tell you what it means.
Okay.
Oh, it's the happiness card, and it's a bluebird, and everybody says that after death that birds most often are sent, and it's bluebirds and cardinals and hummingbirds. Isn't that amazing? That was your question.
Yes.
Was that your mom? That was absolutely
exactly.
Your mom. It
Whoa.
Says, you follow the sweet songs of birds into the forest. This card is a harbinger of delight. Celebrate and have fun. Embrace life, yourself, and others. Say yes today.
Oh.
Soar to the clouds and let your doubts dissolve. All is well.
Oh.
It's simple.
Oh.
Your purpose in life is to experience happiness. That's all that's required of you as a soul. You do not need to be unhappy to please another. All is well.
Oh.
Say yes. Yeah. One of the fastest paths to true pleasure is through sharing and giving. So give of your heart and share your love. Happiness spreads to others like wildfire and can help heal the world. Dance and sing with abandon. Joy is your spiritual birthright. If you don't think your mom just validated that, I don't know what did it. It was dance.
Totally.
It was your birthright. It was about giving and happiness, and your
joy.
Mother was all about giving and happiness and sharing and being kind to people in her church. So, yes, with a wholehearted yes, that was your mom.
And everybody always thought I was kind of weird because I was so animated and so joyful and so happy, and I'd wake up that way. But my mom always got that and understood that. But everybody's like, wow, that's too much. No, that's not too much. Mommy says, and the birds, and there is a favorite verse. I'm going to go look it up in the Bible, which everybody's like, I want your diamonds. I want this or that. I said, Mom, I want your Bible that you wrote notes in. And I have it right here by my side right now. But there's a favorite thing that she always said, because I would be a worrywart because I was always self-employed. And I was like, you know, good or bad or financially like up and down, right? And she said, Barbara, do the birds reap or sow in the barn? No. They know that God is taking care of them. Why? Are you not as important as the birds? That is the verse that my mom and I would always come to together. Barbara, do not worry.
No doubt.
God is there. Yes.
Wow.
Thank you, Marie.
You have a Bluebird happiness card. Like, what are the chances? Like, I just love that. In fact, it's a new deck, Barb, and I've never seen that card. It's the first time I've ever seen that card. So...
Me neither.
I believe, I know that was your mama. That was her message directly to you. And what better than Life, Laughter, and Happiness podcast? I mean, what better way for her to communicate that?
No better way. And she always loved Johnny and was appreciative to him. Thank you so much, Maureen. And I have birdies, too. I'm a bird person, and I am looking at my two birdies. And it's weird. I never thought I would be one. Yeah. And the hummingbird, I just got that thing out because it's summer now, and I was cleaning it to put the sugar water in for the hummingbird. I love birds. It's all about the birds and the freedom.
Mm-hmm. That's your mom. That's your mom surrounding you all the time. If that was your connection and she talked about the birds, that is her message to you to be aware that she's consistently around you and protecting you and loving you. And she literally just sent you a message that said, all I want is for you to be happy. It's your birthright. So that
is my birthright.
Every question. Yep.
And
who better?
I always feel guilty about being my happy, animated self. Like everybody, oh, wow, Barbara's too much. She's too loud, too laughing too loud. and too animated, too dressing too colorfully, you know?
You're
and it's like,
no.
Haha.
No.
God.
You're not too
she
anything.
Had to act
you're
like
amazing.
A mediator. She had to always be
well,
a mediator.
Well, but look at what it said. It is your birthright, and who better to send the message but the person who brought you in this world through
out
birth
of her womb.
Is a physical, right?
Yeah, and I even had to say that, remember, on our after she passed away, you and I had a show with Johnny, and I said, Mom, I came out of you. You bore me. You birthed
yeah.
me. I came out of you. I have to be here. I have to be here. No doubt
yep.
I will not leave your side. And she told that to her husband, and she said, I had her. And she goes, the next day after you told me that, Barbara, I mean, I saw things in a different perspective. And I told him, I had her out of my body. And I was like, wow, she actually repeated what I said to her husband. Wow. Johnny, are you there?
I want that to be, that needs to be your, that's your new mantra is, happiness is my birthright, and that's a direct quote from your mama. So I think you need to go through life. Anytime anything's bothering you, just keep saying over and over, happiness is my birthright per my mother.
I love that. Thank you, Marie. Thank you so much. And by the way, I want to thank you as well for going on 41 minutes after the hour. Nobody ever does this, do they, Johnny? Ever,
no.
Right?
No.
And I even texted Johnny. I'm like, can we go over? Because I'm really into this. So
yeah.
I didn't listen to, I didn't read his message, but apparently we could go over, and we are going
over. We can.
Thank you. Okay, but we're
make
done.
It two, make it two episodes if you have to. I mean, you know, one 45-minute and the other 45 minutes.
We could cut it in two because that is
No, we wouldn't be able to cut it
amazing.
In two. We can't cut it in two. We would have to make it two episodes.
Johnny, maybe we could just discuss all the technical stuff after the show.
Sorry.
Okay. And Johnny might all have right, to my... get Marine. He's going to hire Marine to have to deal with me, probably. Right?
Well, I love
I mean,
it. I'll
I am.
Be...
I am intense. I know that. I am.
No, you're not. No, you're not. Don't. No. No.
Okay.
No. I'm not going to let you do that. We have to reframe that.
Do that too,
you're not intense.
Myself.
You're passionate. Turn it into a
thank
positive.
You.
Whatever anybody has said about you and whatever you're saying about yourself that you've been saying forever, mm-hmm. turn that around. Intense what? Passionate. That's great.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
thank you.
That's a problem. People see emotion as a negative thing. And why? Why is that negative? Emotion is a great thing. So we've
always been
taught to be emotional. So let's
I mean,
embrace.
People take pills to get emotions and to eat. And what is it, endorphins released? They have to take pills to get the endorphins released, but I do it naturally.
Me too. So don't be ashamed of being fun and happy and up and light. And if there's people around you that don't like it, they're not your people. That's all there is to it.
I love that. Thank you, Maureen. And I just want to say real quick on our shout out at the end, please go seek Maureen out. LifeCoachMarine.com. That's her website. You can find everything out from her website. And Facebook, Life Coach Marine. Instagram, marine.scanlon.lifecoach. And we thank you as our regular guest coming back on, our Life Coach guest coming back on. I mean, I'm grateful, aren't you, Johnny?
Mm-hmm.
What? What? Gosh.
I love Johnny. I love
you. Johnny, he is cracking me up nonstop with his innuendos. He doesn't like
God.
Music,
all
by
right,
the
guys.
Way, so
thank
we've
you
got
so
to
much.
Deal with him in another way. All right. So go have
thank
a wonderful
you everyone
evening.
Thank you, everyone who listened. Listen. And thank you, everyone. Thank you, Donna, for calling in. And thank you for everyone. Who reads
not everyone.
The book, buys and reads the book. I appreciate it.
And
leave your review.
The book.
And leave your
Scanlon.
Reviews. Reviews are everything.
My dog is my relationship coach. Go get it, Amazon or her website. Love you guys. Thanks for listening.
Okay.
Thank you, Maureen. Thank you, Johnny. Good night, everybody.
Thank you.
On this Monday madness.
Bye, guys.